of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. Let us pray. We do thank thee, Lord, for the gospel's happy sound. We pray that thou wilt apply its truth to our hearts through Christ our Savior. Amen. Please be seated. Almost all religious schemes in the entire world are at bottom of only two kinds: salvation by law or salvation by grace through faith. You're right with God or with the gods by your own works, or you're right with God by the righteousness which he gives to faith. In this part of Romans, the apostle is showing why the Jews as a people have been cast off. And the reason is God has not elected them all to salvation. And as Paul said last week in the previous chapter, it's not the first time God's done that. Isaiah says, though the children of Israel be as numerous as the sand of the sea, only a remnant shall be saved, a tiny minority. So the result is that the Jews as a people rejected the gospel on God's terms. They insisted on coming before God in their own righteousness and not coming before God having to obtain the righteousness of Jesus Christ. They believed that they were all going to heaven for two reasons. One, they keep the law. Well, of course, that's a fantasy. Nobody keeps the law sufficiently to satisfy its demands. And the second thing they relied on, they were children of Abraham. But Paul pointed out there are two kinds of children of Abraham: those who are merely natural descendants and those who are his spiritual children. Those who have the faith of Abraham are his spiritual children, whether they're Jew or Gentile. So let's begin with verse 1. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. The apostle is going to bring a teaching that is designed to be the most offensive imaginable to the Jews, that God has rejected them. They're no longer the chosen people. So he begins by assuring them of his heartfelt affection for them. His desire is for their salvation. It's not superficial. It's the way your prayers should be, heartfelt. Because he knows that if they refuse to repent and believe in Christ, they will be damned. Now, this verse is one that every evangelical should take a very close look at. What's Paul saying? He's saying the Jews are not saved. There are evangelicals today who say, well, the Jews are still under some kind of covenant with God. They're still God's special people. Paul didn't say that. He says they're not saved. He's praying for their salvation because they're all going to be damned if they reject Christ. Jesus told them that. If you believe not that I am he, you will be condemned. You'll die in your sins. So the Chosen People Ministries, International Fellowship of Christian and Jews, the dispensationalists, innumerable evangelicals who believe that God's special people are still the Jews, they don't know the Bible. God's special people are the spiritual sons of Abraham who are saved by faith. He's never saved anybody by race. The Jew who doesn't have Christ is just as lost as the most savage primitive in the jungle. The Jew without Christ is just as lost as the Nazi who is putting him in the gas chamber. They're both lost. But this doesn't cause Paul to simply dismiss the Jewish people. He longs for their salvation. He prays for their salvation. And you and I should have the same concern for the peoples of the world, no matter their race, no matter their country. We should long for and pray for their salvation. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. The Jews of Paul's day had a great zeal for God. I can't say that's true of most Jews today. A tiny number of Jews today have any zeal for God at all. Most of them are atheists. But in Paul's day, they had a great zeal for God. Paul knew all about it because he was one of them. A Pharisee of the Pharisee, touching the law blameless. Well, blameless in the eyes of men. Nobody could say Paul's a lawbreaker. He wasn't blameless in the eyes of God. He thought he was. They have a zeal, but it filled them with contempt and hatred for those who weren't like them. A zeal for God that's according to knowledge will make you kind and loving and willing to learn. Somebody has once said that some of the worst crimes against humanity have ever been committed have been by religious people. And that's true. They have zeal for God, not according to knowledge. Think about our Lord, or how the apostles were treated by the Jews. Or 9/11. Why did these men crash 4 airliners full of innocent people and kill 3,000 people in the Twin Towers? They had a zeal for sure, but it was for a God who is the devil. But it was religious zeal. Or think of the Inquisition. I just learned a surprising fact. The last person killed by the Inquisition was in 1826, modern times. It wasn't just Middle Ages. Well, I hope we all have a zeal for God, the kind of zeal that makes us want to be more and more like Jesus. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted unto the righteousness of God. Righteousness means you're standing before God's law. You're right with the law, you're righteous. Now, there are two kinds of righteousness. There's a personal righteousness, that means you've done it. Or there's an imputed righteousness, someone else gave it to you. The righteousness of the unbelieving Jews was a personal righteousness. They thought that they had so sufficiently fulfilled the law, they could stand before God in their own good works. Rejected God's righteousness, stood in their own righteousness. That is what all Muslims do. That is what all Jews do, who actually believe and are religious. That's what almost all Roman Catholics do, and vast numbers of Protestants. They stand in their own righteousness, rather than the righteousness of God, the God-given righteousness. You're saved by righteousness. A right standing with the law. Since you can't do it yourself, you need the righteousness of God, received by faith alone. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. Paul is saying Christ has abolished the law as a way to be right with God for believers. He's not abolished the law itself, of course. You know, if you don't obey the Ten Commandments, you'll be in trouble. He's abolished the law as a way of being right with God. He's put an end to it. He's put an end to the ceremonial law, all its types and shadows and ceremonies, were a schoolmaster to lead the Jews to Christ. Christ came, ceremonial law is abrogated. He put an end to the moral law as a way to righteousness. Christ made the moral law as a way of life, but since it would have been a way of life for Adam and Eve, just do and live. He put the whole human race under that obligation, and since they failed, we failed in them, and now the law can only curse you. So, our Lord has made an end of the law of Moses as a way of obtaining righteousness because he fulfilled that law, and he imputes that obedience to those who will put their trust in him. In other words, you're saved by faith, not by law. But there's a qualification in this verse. He's put an end to the law as a way of righteousness for believers, not for others. Those who don't believe in Christ are still under the obligation of fulfilling the law perfectly and are cursed by God for not doing it. For Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. The righteousness of the law can be obtained only by one way, by doing it. That means not breaking it in any way. Scripture says, "Cursed is he that continueth not in all things that are written in the book of the law to do them." All things, not doing your best, or doing most of it, or at least you don't do this or that. If you don't do all things in the law, you're cursed by it. Scripture says, he who breaks the law in one point is guilty of the whole law. You say, well, I don't break the Ten Commandments, really? Do you ever envy? Do you ever say something not true? Did you ever break the Sabbath? In some way, you've broken every commandment. So, trying to obtain righteousness by the law is embracing that which curses you. That's why you need the righteousness of Christ, which he gives only to faith. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise. Say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, or who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring up Christ again from the dead. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. Now, Paul is here quoting from Moses to illustrate something. And it's interesting because Moses is actually talking about the law. This is a Hebrew expression. You don't need to climb to heaven to find it. You don't need to go to the depths to find it. It's easy. There's nothing hard about understanding the Ten Commandments. It may be impossible to keep perfectly, not impossible to understand. They're easy to understand. And Paul's saying that the gospel's like that. You don't need to ascend to heaven to find this truth or descend to the depths. You just believe the word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. How easy is the gospel? Well, it just requires two things. You confess with your mouth that Jesus is your Lord. He's your Lord. He's your God. He's your Savior. He's all that he said that he was. Confessing with your mouth is necessary to salvation. Paul, Jesus said, if you confess me before men, I will confess you before my Father which is in heaven. If you deny me before men, I will deny you before my Father which is in heaven. This church, like all true churches, requires of those who would be communicant members, they stand before the congregation and make a confession with their mouth that Jesus is their Lord. That's necessary for salvation. The second thing necessary is to believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead. If you believe God raised him from the dead, this is proof that Jesus is everything that he said he was, that he's accomplished everything that he said he would, that God has proven all this by raising him from the dead and exalting him to his right hand. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. So we've seen the failure of law to achieve salvation. And here we come in the conclusion to the triumph of faith. Whosoever simply believeth on him shall never be ashamed, because such who have faith in Christ have not their own righteousness. They stand before God in the righteousness of Christ as holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. Amen. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank thee for the simplicity of the gospel. And we do thank thee most of all that thou hast chosen us, lost sinners, to be able to receive the gift of faith and repentance, that we might embrace Jesus and stand before you not in our own righteousness, but the righteousness which God gives. Amen.